lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 386, stanzas 4, 6, and 7. Guard thou my thoughts, I thee implore, and of my lips keep thou the door, nor leave my sinful heart to stray where evil footsteps lead the way. 4, 6, and 7 of Psalter 386.
We wish to read from God's holy and precious word from the book of James, chapter 3, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, in many things we offend all. And thou knowest that there is none of us who can put his hand into his own bosom, and it must come out leprous. Oh, that thou may forgive us. Oh, that thou may wash us and cleanse us from all of our sin. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessing and cursing, which ought not to be. Oh, we need also to be renewed. We need to be instructed. And we need to be made into a regenerated, into a converted person. O Lord, that is alone thy work, and thou knowest all the warfare that lives in the heart of thy true church. Oh, how by times they desire themselves to be so, and how that wretched flesh does lift up its ugly head over and over again, making themselves guilty, filthy and polluted, and offending one another. O Lord, it can only cease when this body of sin and death will be laid in that grave, and when that people will be resurrected, and when they shall be renewed as so completely perfect to walk in a blessed peace and unity in the midst of thy glorified church. O Lord, remember each one of us. Give us such desires to walk so amongst ourselves. Oh, that we might sow that peace and that unity. Oh, that our righteousness may live in our hearts. That we may put away the evil from among us. And that thou wouldest dwell within us and amongst us. Oh, take not away thy Holy Spirit from us, but work with power in the midst of both young and old. Ah, there is no one who is so offended by man as thee, created in thy image. And we have left thee days without number, fallen from a great height into a great depth. Oh, no one so offended as thy dear Son, who came into this world to take away sin, and who was accused of so much evil, or who has lived so perfectly here below. O Lord, we can bear so little, and thou hast borne so much. O teach us, lead us, and give us to follow in thy footsteps. While we are still here upon this short journey between the cradle and the grave, O bless thy word to that end to both young and old, that we all may be washed in the blood of thy dear Son. O that we might know the efficacy of that blood and that work of thy most Holy Spirit. O make us into a wretched and a miserable sinner in our own eyes as we are in thine eyes. And oh, do take us by heart and by hand and lead us unto that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, that thou may give both young and old to be able to speak thereof with tears and with great humility. And that as thy servant Paul did say, of whom I am the chief, and that I am the least of all, or that we may be given that blessed place to come in the low place before thee, or to be instructed there in free and sovereign grace that thou hast merited for wretched and miserable sinners. O Lord, that thou mayest reveal thyself unto those who come up in this morning as such, or who must sprinkle ashes upon their heads, who must rend their garments and cover themselves in sackcloth, or who do come up here and smiting upon their own breast, and saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, or that thou mayest give light and liberty, and that thou mayest open up unto them that blessed fountain. Oh, that there is a river whose streams whereof make glad the city of God. Oh, it is a river that makes glad the poor and the needy, those who are not able to help themselves, those who have sinned everything away and can only be delivered by free and sovereign grace. Oh, teach us, Lord, both young and old, look upon our children and our youth. Oh, teach them in the days of their childhood that they are sinners before thee. Oh, give them to flee from sin. Oh, sign them up into that warfare of thy church and that church militant that is warring against sin, against the flesh, against the devil, against the world. Oh, them has to take refuge in that rock where alone is safety, where thou art able to protect them. Oh, teach them these lessons while they are still young, that they may be enabled to a war against the many devices of the devil, who is learning so much as the world comes to its end, and whose deceptions do only increase. So powerful are his temptations. O Lord, wilt thou care for parents as they try to guard their children, as they try to instruct them? O Lord, give them faithfulness, give them diligence. Remember our teachers in our school. Provide for us, O Lord, in this crisis wherein that we are, wherein we have insufficient to stand before our children and to instruct them in thy truth, as thou hast commanded us to do. O Lord, wilt thou give what thou commandest, and command what thou wilt, and wilt thou provide for us as we are not able to provide for ourselves? Thou art almighty. Oh, thou art able to incline hearts, and thou art able and art a surprising God. Oh, that we may not leave thee alone until thou wouldest arise, and that thou wouldest hear us for the sake of thy great name and for the rising generation that are living in such dangerous and tempting times. O Lord, care for us, all those and that labor on behalf of souls in the schools in our denomination and also in the churches. Remember the student who begins today to go forth into the congregations to speak an edifying word. O Lord, wilt thou help him? O thou knowest his needs. O give him to feel that thou art near unto him. Do visit him from on high, and give thy presence to be round about him as a wall of fire. O that thou would keep his mouth and give him an open mouth to speak the truth. May it be even in simplicity. O use also those few simple words, and may it be for his hearers, and that thou may look upon all of us who try to bring to preach thy word. O Lord, who is sufficient for these things, the obligations, the responsibilities are so very great, and we are so weak, and we are so ignorant. O Lord, help us. We know not the hearts. Thou knowest them. Put thy words in our mouth, and wilt thou keep us on every side. Remember thou our governments in all that they are called to do by thee. All those also we remember in a special way in this hour. Those who do stand in the judgment seats, those who do judge between man and man. O Lord, we beseech thee, in the days wherein we live, where Satan is the prince of this world, oh, could it please thee to give justice and judgment to be done in the courts, and may it be also in the earthly courts. Oh, that we might take with great responsibility and seriousness that task that is laid upon us, and that we may not neglect to do what we are called to do for the sake of the oppressed, though every man come against us. O Lord, give us then faithfulness before thee, the true and the living God. O, do remember all that are sick, our granddaughter in all her circumstances. O Lord, help, for we know not any more, but thou knowest. O, give the doctors wisdom. Do continue to give those little increases. O, spare yet her little young life. And could it please thee, one day also, to show that thou hast used it. Help our children, remember her that has received surgery in this past week. Remember those who do receive treatments far away, but also nearby. And Lord, him, thou knowest also what he fears, for that diagnosis is not a good one from the side of man. O Lord, help him, that thou mayest be near unto him. Help his wife, help his children and grandchildren. Turn us all, Lord, when the callings come clearly unto us. Turn us to thy blessed footstool. Remember also the teacher in our school who has been diagnosed also with that serious disease. Lord, we beseech thee from this place all together also for him. Could it please thee to spare his life and to give the doctors wisdom. Do bless all that is done for him. And could it be to spare him also if it could please thee for us as a school. Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest our great need. That thou may look upon souls. We travel all to eternity. Our life is as a vapor. It is as a hand breath. So quickly it is flown away. And then our soul flies away. Then we have to stand before thy judgment seat. Who can answer all those questions that shall be placed before us? Lord, wilt thou stand for us in the breach? Could it please thee to be our surety and to speak for us in that judgment seat and to say, I have found a ransom. Could it please thee to take us for thine own account, and that we all together and may receive that blessing upon thy holy word in our lifetime, and that may be a fruitful in the day of our death. Care for us in this hour, and give us strength, give us wisdom, give us simplicity, and give us honesty, and give us faithfulness, and give us thy spirit. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 10. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 10. Beloved congregation, Jacob said unto Isaac, his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. That was not true. Jacob painted a picture in the mind of his father Isaac of something that was not true concerning the reality. That is, the reality, all that was round about that blind man was not the same as Jacob said unto Isaac. Isaac made a decision based upon what Jacob said, what he thought the reality that the truth was. He made a decision to bless Jacob. Suddenly, Isaac found out that the reality that was all around him was different than he thought. It was, in fact, very different. Ehud said unto Eglon, the king of Moab, I have an errand, a secret errand, unto thee, O king. Eglon made a decision based on this statement. That was that he would give privacy between him and Ehud, so that he could bring this secret errand unto him. Suddenly, Eglon realized that Ehud had misrepresented the truth, and that he was not here for the purpose of bringing a secret errand unto him. But it was too late. The same as it was too late for Isaac. Pilate said, what is truth? Do you ever ask that? What is truth? That is, congregation, an extremely important question. What is truth? Truth is an expression of reality. Then what we say is the same as what is real all around us. Then our statement, our profession, is true. Truth is very, very important. Most of our knowledge we receive by being taught, not from experiencing things, but most of our knowledge we receive from communication. You know, boys and girls, they tried to build the Tower of Babel, and that could not be finished. Why could it not be finished? They could not communicate with each other anymore about reality, about how things were. And if you cannot communicate that reality to one another, then it is not possible to cooperate, to operate together. Even worse is when men misrepresent that reality. are deceitful about how things actually are. It is even worse. Satan lied to our first parents about reality. And the decision of our first parents, based on this falsehood, was the means of the downfall of the entire human race. How great the consternation of our first parents when they did experience that what Satan said was not true. It was not the reality. But it was too late. Christ says, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works, expecting, building their hopes upon something for many, many years, expecting to enter into that kingdom of God, only to find out suddenly that it is not true. And Christ says it will be too late. We cannot change reality. We need to know the reality. We need to know what that truth is. That is for temporal things. That is also for spiritual things. That is the subject of our Lord's Day today, Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 23, which speaks about God's law, the ninth commandment concerning truth. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Question and answer 112. What is required in the ninth commandment that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day. God's law, the ninth commandment concerning truth. First, the requirements of our duty concerning truth. Second, the grounds of our duty concerning truth. The ninth, God's law, the ninth commandment concerning truth. First, the requirements And second, the grounds of our duty concerning truth. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Our commandment today speaks literally about a court. A court where God judges by the means of earthly judges here below. And what is now more necessary than truth when we are in a court? That is what the court is seeking to obtain. That is truth. And that is necessary in order that judgment, proper judgment, may take place according to reality, according to that which actually happened, and that the righteous may be acquitted, and that the wicked may be condemned. Now, if there were no such thing as falsehood and the lie, then you would only need one person in the court, and that is the judge, in order to give a sentence to someone who has done wrong. But now we need many more people in the court. We need lawyers, and we need a jury, and we need deliberations, all for one reason. It is in order to get the truth, in order to filter out all of the lies and all of the deceit, and that is being spoken inside of that court. How expensive is a court case? And why? It is all because of falsehood. How many millions of people that are hungry in this world could not be fed simply with those funds that are spent trying to get the truth inside of that courthouse? That is all a consequence of our fall. All that evil and the suffering that is taking place because of the expenditures in this world in order to put down wars, in order to come against falsehood, when all of this could be and should be, ought to be, being used for the good of mankind. Certainly, however, seeing that men are full of falsehood, the court is required to be just. And so all this is necessary to come, we would say, to the bottom of it, because it is God and God's justice that is being represented within that court. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. When we are in the court, we must take an oath. That is that we are going to tell the truth. We do not do that when we are just speaking to one another. In the court, there is an official proceeding. And because that it is an official proceeding, it is standing before God. And therefore, men are rightly made to swear that they are going to tell the truth before God. That is the full truth. That is nothing but the truth. That truth that is essential in order that justice may be done in that court. Christ was falsely accused by many false witnesses. And every one of those false witnesses has made the next one bolder, as it often goes in this world, in his accusations, until there are so many and that whole multitude is crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And it was all false. It was all false. Thus, the multitude of people were incorrect. Our fathers say that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. Do we do that? Every man has the right to speak for himself and to give an answer for himself. Thus, if we are passing on to another person unproven accusations as if that they are proven accusations, that is congregation wicked. And if we know something ourselves about being falsely accused, then we will certainly be very, very careful. On the other hand, a guilty person who refuses to acknowledge his guilt in that court is also bearing false witness, ruining the reputation of the person who has rightly accused him, and greatly increasing also the harm that is done to that person. Oh, there are so many people in the world who never receive justice. Abused people who never receive justice all the time that they are here below. By all the courts, by wicked men who will not say what they have done, who will not admit what they have done, and by lawyers who are ready to defend what often they know is not true, and sometimes also by judges who feel and who know they are oppressing a poor man. Of Tamar, Judas says, let her be burnt. Let her be burnt. What was his fault? Until the evidences, those clear evidences, are brought right before his face, and that he is not able anymore to come around his guilt, and then finally he has to say that she is more righteous than I. So congregation, the world full of injustice because of false witness. That is happening. That is happening every day. It is happening on two sides of that court, and often with judges who are just as careless as Gallio about those who are before them, who are being oppressed. But what does Solomon say? He says, if thou seest oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of justice and judgment in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Marvel not. He says, we live in an evil world, and we can expect that in the world, the fallen world we live in, that these things are taking place in our world. Oh, what is that judgment day going to reveal, when all the truth is going to come out under the judgment of him whose eyes are, as we read in God's word, a flame of fire. Paul says, neither is there any creature who is not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh, God, give that everyone in this world who is oppressed by untruth may receive a place at the footstool of this judge, who sees and who knows everything and who is higher than they. Oh, that those oppressed may be given the grace, not that justice ought not to be done in this world, but they have so little ability to bring it to pass. They are oppressed. And may the Lord now give such people to wait on him. Because the Lord says, shall not his elect, that is his own people, shall they not be delivered by him when they are crying unto him day in and day out, day and night? Shall he not avenge them? Even though he bears long with them that takes their whole life, he shall avenge his own people. God give. Also to all those who are guilty of oppression by lying and by deceit, that same place before that same judge, that such persons and everyone that is with them and that is helping them in their deceit and in their lies against the oppressed in this world, that judge may bring them to his footstool. David was an adulterer and a murderer and a liar. He could not bring himself. Can you do that? He could not bring himself in his own guilt. But the Lord could bring him there. Because we read that David was, his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. The Lord did not leave him alone. That was his own child. And now the Lord will leave alone the wicked until the day of their death, when they appear before him and when it will be too late. But his own children, no. No, he will not leave them alone. When he confessed his transgressions, we read before the Lord, then the Lord forgave the iniquity of his sin. And this is, congregation, the only way. It's the only way for forgiveness, for relief, and for the healing of every man who is involved in such sins. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That perjury in the court, that is sin against truth to a very, very high degree. But that is not the only thing that is forbidden by this commandment, but also the sins that have to do with truth and that are in a certain sense of a lesser degree. Our fathers speak about falsifying men's words of Ben-Hadad. Elisha said to Hazael, he mayest certainly recover. Ben-Hadad's children had sent Hazael unto Elisha, shall I come off this bed of sickness? Am I going to get better? And then Elisha said to Hazael, he may certainly recover. But, he says, the Lord has shown to me that he is going to surely die. And what did Hazael do? He went back to Ben-Hadad. And Ben-Hadad says, now, Hazael, what did Elisha say to you? He says, Elisha said to me, and that you shall surely recover. Was that true? There was truth in it. It was a certain statement, but it was not true altogether, was it? You do that sometimes too. Say now only part of that truth, because now to hide some of that truth, when I do not say that always everything must be said to someone else. No. But there are times when someone else has the right to know certain things, because they also have obligations and they also have to make decisions based upon the things that you tell them. So to Abimelech, king of Gerar, Abraham said of Sarah, "She is my sister." Was it true? Say yes, that was true, because they had the same father. The congregation, why is it that Abimelech rebuked Abraham for saying this? Did he rebuke him for telling him the truth? Ah, that statement that was so true in and of itself. Abraham says, "But she is my sister." That is true. But Abraham, what you said does not represent reality. God came unto Abimelech in a dream, and God said to Abimelech, "She is a man's wife." Ah, now Abimelech knew the reality. In fact, Abraham's relation to Sarah as a brother was not necessary to be said unto Abimelech. But Abimelech had a right to know that Sarah was Abraham's wife, because he and his men also had obligations, duties to fulfill before God. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Our fathers say that I be no backbiter nor slanderer. What is a backbiter? That is to bite behind someone's back. Gedaliah accused Johanan of speaking falsely of Ishmael. He says, "Thou speakest falsely of Ishmael to me, saying that Ishmael is wants to kill me and that he has these bad intentions. You are slandering Johanan. You are backbiting." Was that true? No, that was not true. Because actually Gedaliah had a right to know this information, and that Johanan knew. And thus, it was not only true information, and true information does not mean that we are free to spread even true information. Because if it is not good information, then we can still be slandering a man. But this was not only true, but it was necessary for him to know to protect his own life. Absalom was backbiting against his own father. Or when he tried to get the good opinion of all of the people that are around him, and to denigrate the name of his father. He died for it. That is, by the judgment of the Lord himself, who says, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." Let us sing Psalter 25, 1, 2, and 3. "Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within thy holy place? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 25. God's law, the 9th commandment concerning truth. First, the requirements of our duty concerning truth. Second, the grounds of our duty concerning truth. Our fathers say that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil. Unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. There we have congregation, the grounds. John says the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is God. Thus God is truth. He says no lie is of the truth. Christ says the devil is a liar. And the father of it. And thus Christ says that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. There we have the basis. Because God is truth. persons who constantly speak the truth are said to be known for their veracity. Veracity. Maybe you have not heard of that word before, but veracity speaks about a person's character. That is a character of truthfulness. And that is now the character that is required by God in this ninth commandment. That is not only to speak true, but it is to be true. That is to be true in the first place in our heart. Ah, how many times when are there not thoughts in our hearts that we can come around something, some kind of an excuse for what we have done, because we don't want to admit it and we don't want to say that I am a sinner. O congregation, that lie and all that is in our wretched and our miserable hearts, all that is all coming up out of that fountain of hell itself. Joseph's brethren said, we are true men. But that was false. And they knew it, but they didn't realize that Joseph knew it too. Thus we can say we are true men, deceiving ourselves, but we cannot deceive the greater Joseph. We cannot deceive God. David says, who shall now dwell in God's holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, he that doeth righteousness, and he that speaketh the truth in his heart. There is now the fountain. When our heart is speaking truth, then our mouth will also speak truth. That is, congregation, how we were created. Is that now a blessed thought to you? Because this is what the Lord is going to restore his church unto. That there would not be a lie in our heart. That there would be no dissembling in our heart. That everything in our heart would be truth and truth only. So true to reality, to the existence of the world and of God and of ourselves. Ah, that is what Christ is, as he has revealed himself when he was here upon this world. In everything that he has spoken, to this end, he says, was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Only the truth. The church is called now to follow him who did not need to lie in order to bring about all of the purposes and the decrees of his own Father. And we are called so in following him, as our fathers say, to avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil. Or you say that the Hebrew midwives lied, and God blessed them. Yes, that is true. But God did not bless them because they lied. God blessed them, congregation, despite their lies. The Hebrew midwives feared God. That is why they were blessed. And they were blessed despite the sin and the lack of faith that still lived in their hearts. Rahab, you say. Rahab is listed there as one of the heroes of faith. And she lied too. That is true. And what does that now prove to us? That even in those heroes of faith, that faith does not always have that strength that it ought to have. It proves to us that faith is not a new law, that God's children must do in order to be received. No, there is one foundation, there is one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, and that is despite all the shortcomings that are in the life of His people. God does not need our lies. Do you think He needs our lies? All the examples that are written in the Word of God of the failings of that true church do not make those failings right. They do not take away the fact that they are sinful, but they now show us something. Because what is that warfare in the life of that church? You have that warfare too? Ah, you say maybe, how can this man ever enter into the kingdom of God? When we hear the commandments of the Lord, and then to know a little bit of that wretchedness that is living in my own heart. Ah, you say it becomes more and more impossible. And so the Lord, He is revealing in His Word. Now what that warfare is in the life of that true church, and that lack of perfection, and that the Lord is receiving His church so freely on the basis only of one thing, and that is free and sovereign grace. Oh, that church is going to lift up congregation, one name, and one name only. Lies break down trust. But the entire fabric of our society, of society that God has made, is built upon trust. It relies upon trust in business life, in social life. If a husband cannot trust his wife, and a wife cannot trust her husband, then that family cannot function. And if an employer cannot trust his employee, and an employee cannot entrust his employer, then the business cannot function. And if the government cannot trust its subjects, and the subjects cannot trust the government, then the society is not able to function. The chaos, the demise of this world that is instigated by the prince of this world. And what is the chief character of the prince of this world? That is falsehood. Falsehood. There is no truth in hell. That is now the epitome of falsehood, of mistrust, of betrayal. Oh, how lonely, how lonely that a man will feel in hell. Because he can trust no one. In all his misery, in all his wretchedness, he will have not a single companion. But it will have to be born all alone. All lying. Lying, boys and girls, lying leads to hell. To hell. And you know where that hell begins? Begins already in your life. Oh, do you ever feel it? Maybe sometimes you are on your bed and you feel something of what hell is, because your conscience is burning and burning and burning with all your iniquity and with all your deceit and all of your lies. Oh, salvation, salvation that is brought into this world by truth. Christ prayed for his own church. He says, "Oh, my Father, sanctify them," he says, "through thy truth." And then what does the Spirit of the Lord do when he sanctifies, when he cleanses, when he renews a person? He makes them honest. Honest. That is, in the first place, with himself. That is very humbling. Why? Because the truth about myself hurts. That hurts. It is ugly. But congregation, there is no hope. No hope for a man who has never made a sinner before God. Why do we say that? Because that Savior, he is inviting home. He says, "I come not to call the righteous, no, but sinners to repentance." And therefore, if we never become a sinner, then we will never hear that call, that inward call that is coming unto sinners to repent of their iniquity and to draw nigh unto him. Oh, there is no man in this whole world that has ever suffered so much under false witness as Christ himself, who was without sin, who was perfect, who was holy, who was righteous, but he was accused. He was accused of blasphemy. He was accused of falsehood. He was accused of violating the Sabbath day. He was accused of associating himself with sinners. He was accused of rebellion. He was accused of sedition, that is, getting other people to rebel with him. He was accused of being a cohort, to be an accomplice with the devil. "He hath a devil," is what was said of him. Ah, that was all false. All false. And he has borne thereby the sin of his church, who has inherited the corruption of Adam, and who has worked out for themselves their own guilt. Isaiah says, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That is, congregation, the liar's only hope. The liar's only hope. Are we a liar? Oh, that hope is not forever. It's not forever. All the Bible says it is today. Oh, today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, truly. Like James says, he says, "If any man offend not in word," he says, "the same is a perfect man." Oh, what shall that life of righteousness be one day when that is perfected? Oh, in glory, then truth is not only going to reign, it's not only going to be stronger, but in glory, all falsehood and all lies will not have any place at all. Every communication that is going to be according to reality, there will be a perfect trust. There will be a perfect confidence. And because of that trust and that confidence, there will be perfect peace. There will be their perfect rest and a perfect order in that society of the blessed, where everything will be to the great glory of God. Well, Christ says to those Jews which believed on him, he says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth. You will know the reality. And that truth, he says, will make you free. Falsehood brings men into bondage, but the truth frees man. That is experienced even in martyrdom. In martyrdom, when a man suffers for the profession of the truth, and he will not stop professing that truth, even though he is slain for it. Oh, the lie should be more feared than death. Do we fear the lie more than we fear, congregation, to die? By nature, we do not. And you know why we do not? Because we have so little impression who the father of lies is. And what are the consequences of those lies that begin their origin within our heart? Who shall dwell in God's tabernacle? He who sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, because the truth does not change. And therefore also our profession of that truth ought not to change. Must we always confess the truth? There is a time that we have to keep silent, because the Lord says we should not throw the pearls before the swine. But those times are probably less often than we make them out to be. Christ was not silent when the enemy oppressed his people, when there was no judgment, when there was no justice. And to be silent in such a time as this is just to make it into cowardice. Solomon says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. That in judgment and in all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of our neighbor. Oh, if our heart loves it, then our mouth is going to speak it uprightly and confess it for the truth's sake and for the honor and for the good character of our neighbor. Oh, that name of our neighbor. Oh, a good name is what? It is better than precious ointment, we read in God's word. Precious ointment. A good name is rather to be chosen we read, Solomon writes, than great riches. Great riches. Let all the riches go, but preserve a good name before men. That is a godly name before men. And thus, when we destroy the name of a person by the things that we are speaking, we sin against God, O congregation, seek the truth. Graces, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they are speaking something that they do not feel in their heart to know. Do you do that too? You know one thing is true in your heart, but you say something else. That is for men to deceive intentionally. But these wolves in sheep's clothing, they are often also themselves deceived. Thus they are speaking things that are not real. They are not according to reality. Oh, we have a duty. It is for the Lord's honor, and it is for the salvation of our souls that we are like the Bereans, and that we are searching. God's word is truth. Oh, we live in a fallen world. And naivety to receive everything at face value, we cannot do, sadly. Slaying its millions of people. Oh, search, congregation, search that holy word of God, which is truth. And by that searching, oh, that we may come to know him who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but it is thy word. And thou knowest that an arrow must come into the heart of each and every one of us. O, our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. But thou wilt show us mercy. O, take them, Lord, all away. And wilt thou be with us further in this day? Give us meditation upon thy truth, upon ourselves, upon thee, and upon thy dear and beloved Son. And help us in all the work of our hands in the week that is again begun, each one in our place in this world. Care for us as a consistory when we hope to meet in the day of tomorrow. Give us wisdom in all that we must do, and wilt thou remember those that travel, also those that travel to Bolivia, and wilt thou watch over our young people and bring them all safely home again at thy appointed time. Keep thou us from a sudden and an unprepared death. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 89. All the stanzas, ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear. 1-5 of Psalter 89. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.